Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show Friday. It's Friday. What's up, everybody? Well, been quite the week. We've got the continuation of an unbelievable market divergence happening right now, and it's really quite fascinating when you look at what's going on throughout the world, throughout the United States, throughout just the markets. And you know, first we had the Brexit, and then we had the Trump victory. Now this weekend we've got another vote on what's going to be in Italy, and are they going to pull? And based on the statistics and based on history, now we would assume that they're going to get a vote to a no vote, and which would be, you know, consistent with the unease and with the issues surrounding the world right now, because obviously, you know, as we've talked about here many, many times, is there a revolution brewing? And it looks more like a revolution everywhere. And I think that, you know, I think what we're going to find out this weekend is we're going to find out that there's a lot of banks that are in trouble. We are going to find out that there's a lot of troubles, not only in Italy, but really globally. I think you've put yourself, the global economy, because of all of their crap, because of all the manipulation, because of all the attempts to go to socialism globally, I think what you're going to see is another problem. Now, is it really a problem, or is it really a sign that maybe we will see things possibly start to improve? You know, you have to wonder when you look at the globe and when you look, you know, anywhere, you know, what has happened to economies. Now, we know this as facts, okay? You can't continue to create money out of thin air, because when you're doing that, you're really just devaluing the rest of the currency. And in effect, is you're increasing debt because it takes longer and harder to pay it back. But we continue to deal with information that comes down the pipe, and we know, or we should know, that most of this information is false. You know, you could talk all you want about how strong and how good the economy is. Now, I'm going to tell you again, I do not agree. I think the economy sucks. I think that you have so many things that are wrong with the economy, so many things that we have tried to hide, so many cans that we have kicked down the road, that eventually you end up in a mess. And I think that's where we are headed. Not that we aren't already in that mess to begin with, because we are. You can make any excuse that you choose about what is and what isn't. But I can tell you, by looking at what's going on, that overall, we are continuing to create issues that if they are not dealt with, and they are not dealt with quickly, and properly, then we're going to see more of a mess. So a no vote would be no big deal, in my opinion. Because I think what you're really trying to see is you're trying to see countries and economies trying to rebuild themselves, knowing that when you have, you know, like the European Union, and you have Draghi, the continuation of, you know, I'll do whatever it takes crap, that is never good. You know, when you have to have somebody from the outside create interference, okay, and create something for you, you know that that's a problem. Okay, that's a simple problem. Okay, we can't continue at this current rate of watching artificial growth, because at the end, it's like Humpty Dumpty. It always comes crashing down. Because there is no way that we can have true growth until we have true jobs and until we have true meaning as to what our objectives are and what our plans are. So just because, you know, the central banks around the world can create money out of thin air, we all know that the only way you get real money is by working hard, building something that can be sold, and creating the circle of events that create the flow of money and, the, as they say, the velocity of money. Because what we really have here is a situation in which there is no way, in my opinion, that any bank in the world has enough in reserve for the amount of money that they have out on the street. There is no way that the system is working properly. As much as everybody would like you to believe it, we are seeing this uprising globally because the people that need it the most are feeling it the most. So yes, while the very rich are very happy because, again, they continue to build wealth. And of course, these are the times. The natural order is the rich always get richer, which is fine. I mean, you know, you're there, you can do it, you can take benefits of it. But when it becomes, when the rest of the world is struggling and the rich are getting richer, that is when the bigger problems start to develop. And I think that's what you're seeing with Brexit. That's what you saw with Trump. Because, you know, who put Trump in office? It was the middle guys. It was the guys that can't that can't take it anymore. It was the guys that continued to struggle through a system that is garbage. Okay? A Federal Reserve that is garbage. And that is the bigger problem. Because we can't continue at this pace, because every number we get and everybody tries to convince you how great it is. But go out and spend time in any country of and spend time among the people, and you will find that there's a lot of angry, a lot of hurt, a lot of very upset people that are struggling for no reason. And that are the, those are the things that have to be resolved. And those are the things that the assholes continue to ignore. And that is what will come back and bite them in the ass. This is The Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, you know, LibertyTalk.fm is the only station you need. But certainly you can get The Bubba Show there. And, of course, this weekend's Sporting Edge, right at LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com. And we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. It's the time. Welcome back, my friends, to the show. show that never ends. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know, we're just kind of looking around at what's going on, and of course, the U.S. markets this week have been absolutely spectacular from a fantasy island or a story, because the normal person who is sitting at home and, you know, you get the reading and, you know, of course, the pundits come out and say, well, the Dow made another new high. Here we are, record highs once again. And what we don't realize is that at the same time the Dow was making a new high, the NASDAQ was down 2%. The S&P was down 0.5%, and the Russell was down 0.75%. But the Dow made a new high. So the most antiquated, ridiculous garbage average, which actually should probably be ended, okay, is making a new high while everything else is not. Now, again, overall and general principles were up near highs. But what are we up on high? What are we doing up at highs? What is forcing the markets to go higher? Well, we'll hear about the Trump rally. And certainly, his plans are very, very good. And I must say that he has done so far, for a man who is not even president yet, he's the president-elect, he has done one hell of a job trying to unify the world and the markets, and he stayed with his plans about the wall and the trade deals and all these other things, and he did manage, with the help of Pence, to keep 1,000 of the jobs anyways in Indiana. And again, the world, we didn't get here overnight, okay? We didn't get here in 1 minute, so we ain't getting out in 1 minute. But you can see that there's a start. But the overreaction to the equity markets, specifically the Dow, is well overcooked, okay? Again, you can hear about the forward-looking indicator of the stock market. But we've been forward-looking for 10 years and have gone nowhere. Okay? The markets have gone higher, but the economy has gotten worse and worse and worse. And we have a situation now that markets have become so overvalued based on what they hope that Mr. Trump can do. But will Mr. Trump be able to get them all done? And when will he get them all done? And when will that actually realize money into the hands of the middle class? Now that you're talking about a substantial amount of time, if ever. And that becomes the bigger problem. But we, as investors, are so starved for that yield that we are willing to look past the overall issues, which have not left. Elvis has not left the building, and the overall issues in this country have not left. Okay? So if you look and you continue to watch how the market functions, what you're finding out is that we are not in any better shape today other than the hope. Now, again, hope's an important, you know, as long as you have hope that things will get better, okay, you can deal with that. But you're looking at things that we have become accepting of crap. And when did America accept second-rate garbage, okay? And that is what we are starting to see. We're accepting of something that is not as good. Now, again, I do think that it will get better. Again, it always does eventually. But we've been in this basically 36-year cycle, okay, of Fed intervention and Fed monetary policy, which is basically, it's not criminal, but it could be. And, you know, when you continue to try to fight a battle with, you know, paper soldiers, basically, you end up in a problem, okay? And, you know, this vote over the weekend could be the impetus. Remember, I have continued to say that we will have something that will drive to the next correction. And it'll be something that we could not have accounted for and something that we didn't know. So now this could be it, and it may not be it. I'm speculating that it could be something, but it will be something like this. But when you look at the prospectus of what things are going on, you see that there isn't anything very good here. Okay, there is not a lot of good happening. And, you know, before we get everything, you know, retooled and ready to go, there will be a lot of heartache. And to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense as to the way that we do things. And certainly, we can continue to see the Treasury bonds and the notes are ramming up interest rates. Okay, you know, we have gone from, you know, basically interest rates falling off the table and bond futures going up every day to now the 10-year is 2.44 and the 30 is like 3.2. Okay, now these are dramatic rate increases from where we were just a few weeks ago. Now, in the big scheme of life, that is very healthy. That will be very, very good over the long haul, over the big scheme. But in the short run, okay, it's going to send shockwaves through, and yet we continue to ignore those potentials. And you're starting to see a meltdown in some other areas that were very, very strong and carrying the market. Okay. Now, I need, you know, I have to look at the overall picture. And again, it doesn't mean that you sell out. It doesn't mean you dump out of the market. I'm just, you know, again, these are more warning signs than anything else. And when you have every market right now, every major market right now, I'm talking about bonds, I'm talking about gold, I'm talking about oil, is that what we call a blow-off position, which is mean they've either gone straight up or straight down, you have an issue. You have a storm brewing somewhere. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the exact target does not appear yet. But we know that there is a storm a brewing out there. And if we do not nip it in the bud and not take care of it, then it could get carried away. And to me, that becomes a bigger problem. And this relates back to the current administration, and it relates to the Federal Reserve, which goes back to Greenspan, then Bernanke, and now Yellen. Because basically, they don't give a crap. Okay, their job is to make it easy for themselves, in my opinion. They don't really give a crap about anything. And they just say, well, hell, let's just print a little more. Let's just borrow a little more. Let's do whatever we're going to do. And then we can ignore the problem once again. Well, you know, problems get bigger, and eventually they can't be ignored. And I think you're seeing some of that play out in some of the markets, which we'll talk about when we get back from the break. But at the end of the day, we need to do something. And we've started, but again, there's a lot more that needs to be done. But the first thing you should do is go to the only station that you need, and that's libertytalk.fm, and download The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. The Sporting Edge on the weekends, Bubba Show every day. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, it's Friday. It's going to be the weekend. We're getting close to Christmas. We're getting close to, you know, joy to the world and all the other good stuff. And, of course, here we've got some major things happening right before Christmas. So will it be a green Christmas? Will it be a white Christmas? Or is the Grinch going to show up? And you know, there's a good chance, which is, I don't know that it's happened before, but there's a fair chance that the Grinch shows up for Christmas. Okay? And again, I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying you look around, okay? And as you watch the markets and you watch them trade, what are we seeing? Okay, we've got the Dow making new highs. In the meantime, the NASDAQ has been getting clobbered. Okay, the Russell has, you know, which was the most exciting, which made the most dramatic move up, is now starting to make, not a disaster, but certainly, you know, down almost 3%, you know, this week. Okay. You know, so after, and again, some of that's warranted, right? I mean, there's going to be some selling, but it's not logical between. Okay. We had the OPEC rally in oil. Now, my question to everybody is, who gives a crap? Okay. Why are we so wound up about OPEC and what they're doing when we have our own oil? And when we further know that OPEC's going to steal anyways. They aren't credible. Their deals aren't good. Their deals are as good as nothing. They never honor the deal to begin with. So why would we be so enthused in oil unless, well, maybe they cut or be short and you get some concern? That would make more sense. In the meantime, you've got oil that's basically gone up in the last couple of weeks, 30%, 20%, 25%. You've got gold that is now plummeting. So from gold making a big move to now plummeting and looking like it's headed to 1,100. Okay. Now, I think gold looks, you know, okay. I mean, certainly from an investing standpoint, where I was going to buy physical and hold it, I would have no problem buying a little bit here. There is that potential of one more big douche, as they say, and I wouldn't be, you know, totally surprised. But I do believe that it's somewhere here you can start to buy. I think you look at the treasury bonds that have gone down 23 points or 24 points from the high, which is, in real money, it's $24,000 a contract, which is a pretty damn big move. Okay. So you've got the interest rates being driven higher, which we talked about on this show, by the fixed income traders. You've got a lot of stocks that are getting clobbered in here, and nobody's talking about that there's more new lows every day than new highs. because nobody cares about that. Nobody wants to. Nobody wants to look underneath the hood. They want to continue to tell you how good it is. Okay, nobody's talking about the true profit margins that are being made, which are not being made. And I think that when you weigh the whole scale, you find out that there isn't much worth of crap going on. And what makes it even sadder is that there isn't the prospects other than the Donald, okay, to see much more good, okay? And hopefully he can get things his way, all right? But from history, what this should be telling you is that we've got everybody calling for now big moves in 2017 to the upside. You've got Goldman Sachs, and this is the key one. You get Goldman Sachs calling for, I don't know, I think, 8 or 9 or 10% rise. Now, we know from history that Goldman Sachs is usually, if they had that belief, they probably already bought and they're going to sell out on the rally, okay, and be short. But they're possibly already short. You know, when you listen and you see the commitment of traders reports, not, you know, we don't know who they are, but we do know where it comes from. And, you know, Goldman Sachs is part of that. So if all these big commercials and all these banks are holding massive short positions in the futures market, okay, if they're holding big volatility positions in the VIX index, well, then what is that telling you? Telling you that they're not expecting a big rally. Now, they have ways of disguising what they have because they do have long equities. And their theory, from my opinion, is they can hold the long equities. So if the markets go higher, they can say, oh, look at how good our equity portfolio did. And if the market goes lower, they can say, oh, look at how short we are. We had you all covered up. And that's always interesting at the way that things are reported. And this goes back to the way that we see things reported in this country. Because, again, the report is only as good as the person putting it together. Because, you know, there would be no reason for a constant adjustment or revision if we just did the numbers right in the first place. Do you ever think of that? You know, you don't think that the government manipulates some of the reports? You don't think that some of the information somehow doesn't make it and then it gets revised later? I mean, the government tell you that, you know, when they came out celebrating their great GDP, that was related to a shipment of soybeans and nothing else. And of course, with the dollar spiking higher here, what is the prospects for our agricultural world? What's our prospects for a company like Caterpillar that had to halt trading yesterday and they love the new economy, basically? Aren't they the same ones that kept saying, oh, well, we didn't make as much money because of the strong dollar? Well, the dollar, this is the strongest the dollar's been in 14 years. But yet, here we are. Okay? So isn't it amazing how the information changes from day to day, from what you hear and what they tell you? I think that that's something that, you know, we have to understand, that the numbers given out are meant to mislead and not necessarily meant to benefit. Because I always laugh whenever a company says, well, the strong dollar hurt us. That should not ever be a problem in this country, especially with the amount of derivatives that we have, that anybody can actually hedge against anything, and then the currency is not a problem. And not only is it not a problem, it can actually become a benefit. So when we continue to hear this bullcrap, okay, from all these people, what are we looking at? Well, we're looking at stuff that's crap, okay, and that is my problem. Okay, is I'm tired of hearing and looking at the crap. Now, I know better, so I don't get involved with it, but I believe this is, I think that when you look at what's going on and you see the turmoil around you know, the people. I mean, you look at the Democratic Party. I mean, it's falling apart. I mean, and you've got some of the worst people in there. And think about how freaking old they are. Okay. They just elected Nancy Pelosi again. What is she, 76 years old? Okay. I mean, are you kidding me? That's the best you can do? You have nobody young and innovative that can take over? This is a problem in the system, okay, that somebody like that can continue to be the lead who is a lousy leader. And one thing we know for sure, she may deliver, you know, good speeches, but she don't deliver votes. And after all, what you're looking for from your leaders is for them to be able to deliver the vote. And I think that, you know, it's just silly, okay, to think that, you know, we are getting better. And this is where the political system really needs to pull it together. And I think that Donald Trump is trying to pull it all together. And I think this is the problem, okay, because the left is doesn't want to have everybody to have everything. The left wants to have a big government that has a big payroll of entitlement people, whereas the I'm not going to say the right, because again, you know, I'm not a fan of either side, but Donald Trump says, let's unify. We're one country, okay? We shouldn't be separated by stupid issues. We should be separated by nothing. We should be unified and trying to get everything better, and then we can have a matter of opinion on how we get there. But certainly, the current way and the current process, if we haven't figured it out, has not worked. And we need to do better, because certainly we should not be in any problems right now, and yet we are. And that's what needs to be better, because again, you're going to start to crunch again the average guy. And that is never good. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you on this Friday, the 2nd of December. And, of course, you got the weekend. Christmas is coming. And what do we got? Well, go to libertytalk.fm and get your first Christmas present, The Bubba Show. You download it. In the meantime, you get the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Phil Show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And everybody says I sound like Dr. Phil today. Too calm and too sedate. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'm tired. I'm tired of listening to the same rhetoric over and over again. I'm tired of seeing artificial things try to move markets. And, you know, eventually it kind of wears you down once in a while. Because the fix is so easy, okay? If we could just get out of everybody's way and just let the world and the markets take care of themselves, we'd be a hell of a lot happier. And, you know, I think, you know, if we look around and we look, for an example, in the farming community right now, we've got the grain markets pretty much under some pretty heavy pressure. And, of course, obviously not good. But, you know, why is everything under pressure? And well, the answer is simple, because there's too much manipulation going on and not enough free markets. But what the real interesting thing is that, you know, although we see agricultural prices at multi-year lows, basically, none of my prices have come down when I go shopping. Okay? You know, and... You know, all of a sudden, you know, I've seen oil prices jump. So my price at the pump has gone significantly higher all of a sudden. And, you know, when you destroy the free market system, which is basically what we've done, okay, you end up with a lot of prices that don't make sense. And for me, for my money, why is it that we just can't let the system either fail or go? I mean, I don't believe we would fail. I believe if these, I believe if there was no Federal Reserve, then yes, some of the banks would have collapsed in 09, 08, and who cares? Why should I care about a stupid bank? Okay. And if we would let the free market system work, then we'd have a fair prices for everybody. We'd have a hell of a lot less manipulation. And we'd have a system that actually worked. Because we're already seeing the calamity from this ridiculous minimum wage, which is failing everywhere that's tried it. Because, again, people can't exist. Okay? And you watch when if and when they do pass this, just look for all your local McDonald's to cut their staff and help and cut their staff in half, okay, and watch all the new machinery that's just waiting to come out, okay. And if you want the best example, go to a Little Caesar's Pizza if you got one near you. They can run those stores with one employee now, okay. They don't have to do anything. They push a button, makes the whole pizza, okay. So it happens to be, I think, a $70,000 machine, okay, and it replaces 3 to 4 employees. Figure it out. Figure out your payroll. Okay, so you know, you continue to try to push these little guys around, and you know, listen. Let's face it, McDonald's, which is, you know, the McDonald's, the corporate is obviously not little, but franchise owners, they're not big. You know, I mean, some of them are, but overall, you know, own a couple. You can bet there's going to be all new kiosks. You know, that's why if you've ever been to Sonic, the Sonic model is interesting because you order at a, you know, Joe Fasten drive-thru, you order right from there. They need a lot less help. And that's where we're headed here is, you know, the tougher they make it on the employer, the harder it's going to be overall, because what we're going to really see is a failure of the system. Because when you continue to try to do things, you're going to find that the companies are going to find ways to replace that cost. So, I mean, certainly, given equal shot, equal even money, even a little more, we would always prefer to have just regular people working. But when you force my hand and you force me into, well, either do I want to go out of business or do I want to work more harder and make less money myself if I'm the business owner? Well, I'm in business to make money. I'm not a charity case, okay? I'm not looking to have somebody on minimum wage, because minimum wage jobs are not a career. Now, everybody starts out in more of an apprenticeship type of thing in life. Even if you look at pro baseball players, okay? You know, there's the occasional guy that, you know, gets the big contract out of college. But as a rule, what do you get? You get guys that go to the minor leagues, they ride buses, they make, you know, $1,500 a month, or whatever the number is. But they don't make any money. They're not the glamour guys. And they have to work their way up. And you know, in baseball, you got to get better, and you can grow, and you get the promotion. You go from one to the other. And so minimum wage jobs are not a job that is supposed to be your career. And if it's a poverty level job, it's too bad. Okay. I mean, that should give you the incentive to work harder, work smarter, try to get and improve yourself so that you're not at a minimum wage job. Because the truth of the matter is, minimum wage jobs are not for everybody. Okay, minimum wage jobs are for high school kids and college kids. And maybe you need, you know, a little extra dough, so you want to work a part-time job. So you take a minimum wage job to make an extra $100 a week. Okay? But minimum wage jobs were not designed for a family of four to have the breadwinner working for minimum wage. And that's the problem. Okay? So when did it become a position that we're worried about, you know, the poverty level, you know, and where we are, and forcing companies to pay that can't pay it? That's the problem. Okay, you can't pay, when you can't pay it, you know, I mean, if you're in business for yourself, okay, and you've got, you know, a 10-person payroll, you have to make, to meet the minimum wage, you have to clear in profit an extra $70,000, $80,000 a year. Now, I know a lot of business owners, and I don't know one that is willing to sacrifice $70,000 or $80,000 out of their own pocket, basically, because it comes off the bottom line, to raise that minimum wage. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see all this backfire, because anybody that can automate, they're going to automate. And anybody who can't, they're going to cut. We're going to see the same example of what happened in 07, 08, and 09, and it's never recovered because these companies learned that they didn't need 75 vice presidents, okay? They didn't need all this, the people, so they've cut back. And once you cut back and you realize you don't need more, you have the simple problem of saying to somebody, you don't like it, work harder. You don't like it, quit. There's a million people out there that want a job. And that, to me, is, again, this is the changing of America. This is the changing of the system, because you've got too many assholes trying to tell you where it should be versus it is what it is. Because the truth should be known is the job market should be a price discovery market also. You should get what you're worth, because the employer gets what they pay for. All of these jobs that have, you know, tenure, and I mean, where the hell did that come from? Why should a crappy employee have tenure and not be able to be fired? Again, this goes back to, we talked about this weeks ago, the pride, okay, the competitive edge. You know, you want, if you make it a price discovery model, okay, then the employees take control, okay? So you got to do a good job, okay? And if you do a good job, you get paid. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. You do good, you get paid. Very interesting concept, okay? But let's more worry about raising it, so then those people can say, you know what, give me a few less hours so I can get my free stuff, okay? Anyways, everybody have a great weekend. Go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge this weekend. Let's see how the vote plays out on Sunday night. And enjoy yourself. Have fun. Be healthy. Have a good time. And come back and see me on Monday. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz wishing you the best for the weekend. And we will see you back here Monday. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.